In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen. In the gospel that we just heard, we see an image of the state that we're in without Christ and what Christ does in our life. It begins, "After this there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem." After what, you might ask? Well, it's after he met with a Samaritan woman, which will actually be reading that gospel reading next week, and he healed a nobleman's son in Galilee, and the result of both of those encounters were that people responded in faith and people came to believe. Now, as to what feast it was, in St. John Chrysostom's homilies, he says, at least in the translation I have, "Methinks it was Pentecost." There are some other fathers that say that it was Passover, but it's really not important to the gospel. If it was, it would have specified it. But then it says, "Now there is at Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had." First, the name of the pool, Bethesda, means in Hebrew, the house of mercy. The pool was where the sacrificial lambs were washed. The sheep's gate was where the sheep were led into the city of Jerusalem on their way into the temple to be sacrificed. And in this pool, they were washed. And so people began to revere this place, and they noticed that at a certain time, there would be some bubbling in the water. The water would be stirred, and the first person that would go in there, if he was sick, would be healed. And so, as time went on and the fame of this miracle spread, you had all these people that would just sit around this pool, and they would wait to see when the water would be stirred. Now, it talks about five porches. St. Augustine says that these five porches represent the Mosaic Law, the five books of Moses. And he points out that the law itself wasn't capable of healing. It could only point out one's need for healing. And so the fact that this man was at the porch didn't get him all the way. It got him close, it got him in the right place, but it didn't provide the healing. Also, it wasn't the water itself by its own power that was healing people. It was the grace of God active through the action of the angel that stirred that water. And so the fathers say that this is a type of baptism. This is a foreshadowing of baptism. But they point out that this will only help the first person that stepped in, whereas with baptism has an unlimited power. Billions and billions of people can be baptized, and the very last one will receive the same grace as the first one. They compare it to the sun. There are billions of people every day that bask in the warmth of the sun. But the power of the sun is not diminished by the fact that all these people are doing that. And that's the same thing as it is with the power of baptism. "And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole?" We find out later in this gospel reading that his illness was due to sin. All illnesses are not due to sin, but it's often the case that it is. Illness gets our attention. We have spiritual illnesses when we sin, but we can go on sinning without any concern about that whatsoever. But when we have an illness, it gets our attention, and that's the reason why God often links the two. There are certain kinds of sin that bring along risk of illness. Like if you're a drunkard, there's illnesses that are related to that. If you're a drug addict, there are illnesses related to that. If you engage in sexual promiscuity, there are illnesses that are related to that sin. But there are also sins that God sends to people because he's trying to wake them up. Now, of course, there are many people who sin and they live very healthy lives and they die at an old age. And why in God's providence this is the case, we couldn't say in any given or particular case. But if someone isn't open to God's grace, then God is not likely to try to send them some kind of a hardship to open them up spiritually. In other words, if their hearts are hard, then they're going to be allowed to continue and go on their merry way. And then we're told that he was ill for 38 years. 38 years is most of this man's lifetime. Some fathers say that the 38 years represent the 38 wasted years that the Israelites spent in the wilderness. These are years that didn't have to be, but they didn't have to be spent in the way that they were, but they were because of the sins of the Israelite people. But we see that this man persevered. We have a tendency that if we have a difficulty in our lives and if we pray about it for a week or two and the answer doesn't come immediately, we want to despair and say, you know, God, why have you forsaken me? But here's a man who had this illness for some sin that he had engaged in, we're not told what, but for 38 years he had this illness and he sat by this pool. And every day he would watch people being healed, but he wouldn't be that person. But he didn't give up, because he knew that he was in the right place at least. Then it says, the impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. The man was alone. He didn't have any friends or family that were there waiting to help him into that water. He was powerless to help himself. And what an image of loneliness we see in this man. And that loneliness is a great problem we have in our time especially. We become increasingly isolated, even though we have things like social media that ostensibly connect us more than we've ever been connected. But in reality, we tend to be more alone than any previous generation. And this can be a very difficult place to be. Now, when Christ asked him, Wilt thou be made whole? Why did he do that? Well, Christ didn't wait for him to come to him and ask to be healed. He came to him, but he did need this man to say yes. God offers us the gospel. He offers us salvation. We have to respond yes to that question, because God respects our free will. And if we want to stay in our sins, if we want to remain sick in those sins, He will leave us there. But if we want to be healed, that power is there. All we have to do is say yes and respond as he has told us to. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and he took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. Christ could have simply said, Arise and walk, or arise and go. But he told him to take up his bed, because this demonstrated the miracle. He wasn't gradually healed. He didn't gradually get better by some natural means. He was healed in an instant. And the bed that had borne him for so many years was suddenly borne on his shoulders, and he was a new man. So this left no question in the minds of people who saw him as to what had happened. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed knew not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Here we see the hard-heartedness of these people, because what they should have said when they saw this man carrying his bed is, Glory to God, what a wonderful miracle that you've been healed. But instead, they're looking at this as a transgression of the law. And according to the Jewish custom, you weren't supposed to carry your bed on the Sabbath day. You weren't supposed to carry a burden. But this was an unusual circumstance. Unlike the Samaritan woman, and unlike the Samaritans in that village, unlike the people of Galilee who saw so many miracles, these people didn't respond to this miracle with faith. Also, the verse that follows this gospel reading says, And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So not only were they not filled with faith, but they were filled with envy, and they were filled with hatred and a desire to kill Christ. Afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. Where did Christ find this man after he had been healed? If it happened to me, I might not have been at the temple right away. I might have been celebrating. I might have been out with friends and my family, but he was in the temple, which was the right place for him to be, to give thanks to God. And Christ finds him there, and he admonishes him. He tells him, you've been made whole. Go and sin no more, lest something worse happen to you. So he makes it clear to him, if he had any doubts about why he had been ill, and to be sure not to go back to where he had been. As I said, sin always leads to illness of the soul. It doesn't always lead to illness of the body, but it always leads to an illness of the soul. And this, what Christ was telling this man was how not to fall back into that. Some people will say when they read this gospel that when the paralyzed man went to the Jews and he told them who had healed him, that this was a betrayal, that he was ratting out Christ. But the fathers say that no, he was anxious to let everybody know the good news that Christ had healed him. Where can we be healed of the illnesses of the soul? At the house of mercy, the church. St. Cyprian of Carthage tells us, each person falls in isolation, but we are saved in the community of the church. The church is the right place for us to be healed. We have others to help us, as this man did not have at the Pool of Bethesda. There's a German saying, pain when shared becomes half as bad, but pain unshared is twice as hard. So whatever spiritual difficulties we have, if we isolate ourselves and we try just to deal with this on our own, we're making it twice as hard for ourselves. But if we talk to those in the church, if we go and seek spiritual solace and support, we can be given aid and strength and encouragement by those around us, and they'll be able to share wisdom with us as to how to overcome these things. The world in which we live is as I said, trying to isolate us. The devil and the world are very active trying to bring us all down. They're trying to break down our families, our communities, and to make it easier for us to be controlled. Because if you're an isolated individual, you're a very easy person to control. If you're part of a family, if you're part of a strong community, it's a very different thing. We need to make sure that we don't allow despair, depression, social media, the societal trends to allow us to cut ourselves off from those around us. We need to work to strengthen our family ties. God intended for our families to be a little church, which connect us to the local church, which is our bigger local family. But that also connects us to the entire church. And that, in turn, connects us to the church that is in heaven, which in turn connects us with Christ himself. We need the help of others in the church above all else. However, we need the help of Christ, who is himself the God of healing, mercy, and forgiveness. He has the power to raise us up and the power to keep us standing firm in the faith together as a church. Amen. Christ is risen.
Jesus.